Well, this is supposed to be Zen Threads, and Sarah wanted me to talk about the forms, and trying to think, I mean, I do have things to say about the forms, but it's not a lot, so I was hoping that we could have a discussion about it afterwards. I was thinking, what's smaller than Zen Threads, so I decided to call this Zen Filaments.
You're so you.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, there's no cure for that.
Fortunately.
We'll see. When Sarah asked me to give a Zen Threads talk about the forms, she appended the phrase, because you love the forms. I think she might have gotten this slightly off the mark idea because I said something to her like, I love the forms. One must always measure one's words. To say I love the forms is accurate, but is what Joan would call a partial view. To say I love my relationship with the forms is more like a long-standing marriage, a subject on which I can discourse with some expertise. The forms have caused me no small amount, ration of anxiety, and stand as if a more or less constant reminder that even my most determined swipe at them will always be found wanting. It is also true that I'm thankful for them. They seem to always be able to inherently ferret out my foibles, but managed to do it gently and without scolding. One thing I did say to Sarah on that, she got this idea one day when we drove down to Beulah to look at the retreat place. One thing I did say to Sarah on that afternoon that is accurate is that if our Sangha discarded the forms, I would probably leave. I wouldn't leave mad or in a huff or all of a sudden, my fantasy is that I would just sort of slowly drift away and quietly look somewhere else. I wasn't sure how I was going to articulate my somewhat ambivalent relationship with the forms, so I called up my brother, upon whom I can usually rely when the muse goes south for the winter. It was after Meredith's excellent Zen Threads presentation in November. He asked me how Meredith's talk was. I said that it had been very good. I also said that it had put me ill at ease because when I looked at what I had to contribute regarding my appointed subject, I came up with nothing. Nothing, he returned. Isn't that what you folks are all about? He had me there. But it was not of much help. He did, however, throw out a quote from G.K. Chesterton that I think is right on the money. Ritual is poetry acted out. So the forms have a strong aesthetic dimension, and I think we are collectively starved for beauty. It seems like whenever we're offered the chance to trade off beauty for efficiency, we're always happy to make the trade. Be it a stand of trees for a shopping mall or a beautiful building for a rectangular slab with a parking facility. I think it has left us thirsty for beauty. But the forms are not only a beauty we behold, they are a beauty that we create together. The bowing, the flowers, the water, the candles take on a sense of the sacred and offer us a deep drink in what has become a secular desert. Another aspect of the forms has to do with mindfulness. I'm certain I'm not telling any of you anything that you're not new here, but they are clearly designed to frustrate our inveterate tendency to go through the motions. Most of you know that I was a teacher in past years, for several years. And probably the most difficult of my job was to see so many people going through the motion, in effect, sleepwalking through life. I always anguished about what I could do to awaken them from their somnambulant stroll. I'm not saying this from a righteous point of view. It's just that my teacher's perch gave me a pretty clear look at how people were conducting their lives. And it looked like such a waste of such a precious opportunity. Now I'm going to be righteous. It also gave me a good look at how I used to conduct my own life. During one retreat, I was a tea server, and I spent most of my work in the room time working on pouring and bowing correctly. Oh, the form was up to snuff, but the content was wanting. Aligning myself with it, my tea pouring had sort of a slam bam thank you ma'am aspect to it. Although aligning myself with the purpose of the serving of the tea was both difficult and immensely rewarding. Going through the motions might just be another form of what we sometimes call habit energy. In the Lanka Avatar Sutra study, habit energy is talked about a great deal. It's talked about as something not to be discarded or escaped, but as something to be transformed. I feel that the forms generously gift us with small holographic opportunities to transform habit energy. Or not. It is so easy for me to comfortably slither back into relaxing and into performing the forms, semi-consciously. I probably did so several times today. So to me, the forms are not about being in a cult or worshiping a strange deity. I don't really care about any of that. When I bow to the Buddha, I'm not eschewing anybody else. I'm bowing to myself and to all of you. And I'm expressing gratitude for this practice. I find that to be supremely edifying. And when I do walking meditation, I love to feel the pads of my feet gently caressing the paving stones of this magnificent church. And the sensation of the cool stone tiles on my aging feet is as significant as anything in this improbable universe. Lest I get too carried away with my own grandiloquence, I should hasten to add that the forms still cause me a good deal of consternation because I don't cotton too much to being humbled. But they seem to be able to humble me with a fair degree of regularity. The last aspect of the forms has to do with what Carl Jung said about ritual. He said it is a way to bypass the conscious mind and speak directly to the unconscious. Scientists are now saying that 90 to 95% of our mind is unconscious. It's an interesting sidelight that physicists are saying that 90 to 95% of the universe is composed of dark matter. You may make of that what you will. So a chance for an opening to such a vast field is not by my lights chump change. So the forms offer an opportunity for our quotidian mind not to go to sleep, but to hush up a bit so that other parts can be spoken to. We don't have to do anything for this to happen. We merely have to perform them with a sincere and open heart. Not always easy, but always worth it. Yeah.
Thank you.
So why do you say already, without trying, that you would leave if we gave up forms?
Because, well, that's a speculation, obviously. I just feel that the forms, number one, I think they act as a bit of a glue for our community. It's something that we do together. it's something that expresses interpermeation, but it's also something that there's, as I talked about, there's a hunger for me. You know, somebody to misrepresent that. It's not that I would stop off or get mad or anything, but I think I would cease to find my participation rewarding if we discarded the forms. And so I would probably look somewhere else to have that aesthetic thirst slaked.
What does a quotidian mean?
Oh, every day. Mm-hmm. Every day.
Erectile dysfunction.
Every day, at my age.
I like what you said of, did you want to respond?
No.
That forms transform.
Yeah.
Into the unconscious, and I don't like forms. I don't like compulsions. I don't like order. I don't like predictability. And by my nature, I like...
I find that odd that you would say that, because you're one of the ones that's always bringing me up on charges for not doing it right.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Charges.
Yes.
But I will say that I have had the experience of going into the unconscious with form.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I was a cook, and I went down... It was at the King's, and I went down with the big gong, and I was early, and I just stood there. All right, the timing was that people were just sitting, and when I saw everybody bow to their cushion, I lost it. It's like I became, I don't know, mush, just emotional and physical gone, and it was as though the gong was holding me up. Mm-hmm. That was my sensation. It was so visceral, so real, so lucid. And I think this might be what you're talking about, and how do we transform? We all transform from our own habit energies into that place of freedom and depth.
Yeah.
And I get it. I don't like to do it, but I get it.
Me too. Me either, me too.
I love to do it. Ritual and form kept me sane as a very young human being, and even now, when life is coming at me with something or other, whether I'm deeply inhabiting the form is the anchor back. Even in my own home, in my little zendo place that I've created for myself, to walk in the door and to bow is to come back. And sometimes it's deep and transformative, and sometimes it's just come back.
Yeah, I think part of it has to do with you went to St. Thomas. Because, you know, when I was little, I always heard people say, and I said it too, well, one thing I like about the Catholic Church is its ritual, because we weren't Catholics. We look at the Catholic Church and say, well, I don't know anything about it, but I love the ritual. And I heard that time and time again. And St. Thomas was like that too.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
St. Thomas was Episcopal.
Yes. And very much of the incense, all the...
It was a beautiful church, St. Thomas. It still is.
So you could feel the ritual energy was in there.
But it has a beautiful Spanish colonial architecture, and it's really well put together with an eye to a beauty.
Well, I must say, when I first came to the Sangha, I detested bowing to a Buddha that I didn't know really existed. I wasn't supposed to idolize the Buddha, so why was I bowing to the Buddha? And I really, really struggled with it. And Sarah suggested, so don't bow. So don't do him. And I thought, oh, Well, then once that was okay, you know, then the rebel in me couldn't be rebellious anymore. And I wondered how much was rebellion and how much was true distaste. But I did try not, you know, I thought, all right, I won't bow. And something was lacking, I found. And, you know, I don't love the forums, I don't hate the forums, but I do find that gratitude and compassion, I think, well up in me when I bow to others. Mm-hmm. And just that gratitude for everyone being here. But I'm not sure without the forums, if I don't know that I'd feel differently.
Well, I know that, you know, David said, I asked David Weinstein, I said, are there any sanghas in California that are prospering? He said, well, yeah, and that have a lot of young people. He said, well, yeah, there are some. He said, well, what are they doing? He said, they got rid of the forms.
Hmm.
You know, and so the forms may be on the road to extinction.
I'm a little, I don't really know what the forms are. I mean, I know what you're talking about, and the form and the stuff and the ritual. I happen to be a Catholic teacher, so I get ritual completely. But I don't know the details. I don't know what the specifics are. I'm kind of still, I don't know. So it's interesting listening to you kind of talk about that, the bowing thing. Because my original thing is, like, okay, so I'm bowing here, but it was okay. Because it felt like honoring. And I like bowing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand, I don't genuflect, I bow. That's kind of what I was taught. And so bowing is a sense of that honor. Mm-hmm. To someone who said that, it's like that resonates, like, well, yeah, I can do that anyway. But I really like what you said about trading beauty for efficiency. Because it's just very true. And part of what I like about being here on Saturday mornings, I mean, if you're talking about the things like the bowing and the standing and the walking and the... And, I don't know that it would be the same without it, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's just because I don't know. And it's all I've experienced for the last year. So I don't know how you would do it,
I don't
necessarily,
either.
Without some sense of, quote, ritual to it.
I don't either.
I mean, there would just be... And maybe there is the nothing. It would just kind of be, I'm just sitting.
Yeah.
Well, Meredith, you were just at a relatively formless...
Well, no, I would not say that. I would say the forms were available, but you didn't... The sense I have in being in their community... First of all, there's beauty everywhere. The altars were just gorgeous. And the forms were practiced, but they weren't... Some people didn't. So I would not say that in that environment that they tossed out the forms.
I heard there was a good deal of talking...
No, that's not true. There's,
Well, that was one person who was their perception, I should say.
She said, he said the leaders of the, like, walking meditation talked.
Walking meditation talked?
Yeah, he said the leaders talked.
Well, there were some guided, there were some total silent things, and there were some guided things, or a koan or a word thrown in, in any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their, you know, their central, koan is so central to how they do things. And there were opportunities when people were talking, but people were not just talking all the time. No, that was not my experience.
I think it was that you can't, it's not that you can't talk anymore. It's not that it's enforced that it's silent. The silence is in the meditation hall, but there...
No, people were not just visiting outside.
Or in the,
no, the grounds, all silent.
But the grounds, just the imposition of no talking. Was there still an imposition of no talking?
I think how it was presented. I can't remember who presented it. I think probably John Tarrant, because he began things. Was, and he said this in Santa Fe when I went to the retreat that he did there. He said, "Silence is the container. You'll make your own choice. What is silence for you?"
David also said when they did a precepts group without form and everything, nobody came back. They did a refuge group. People took refuge. That's interesting. They didn't have their rackets here. They didn't do the whole thing. And none of them stayed, which is similar to your proclamation of you would just leave us.
Except that the young people...
Well, that's what he said then. I do think there's a thirst for the beauty that the forms, and not exclusively these forms, but that they offer, as I said before. I mean, our social life becomes more and more superficial and less acknowledging of the unconscious. And I think the unconscious tends to take its revenge on us for that. I think that's observably true. But
in my whatever limited experience, it would be odd that the younger people would not want to come back to the forms because so many younger people seem to be hungry for a stability and ritual that they've never had experience mm-hmm. before. That's what I see in here. I teach in a high school, so I see this, and sometimes the bad part of that is when it's just going through the motions mm-hmm. and not having connection to it. But there's that wanting to do it more so, I think. And that's mm-hmm. I just find that odd and interesting.
I have no explanation for it. And a lot of what I'm reporting is secondhand.
Sure.
But we have had young people come to retreats, and we have at least one who came to a retreat and left.
But they don't like silence.
They don't like what?
They have a hard time with silence.
Yeah, and not having stimulation.
But being just quiet. Yeah, I mean, and I happen to like the silent part, so they don't. It's unnerving, I think. I think silence is just unnerving for most Americans, but for younger people, it's really unnerving. Because they're used to having something going on all the time.
That's true. We live in an overstimulated society.
I think there's an element of efficiency, though, in the forms. Mm-hmm. Like walking meditation, for example, we all follow the person to the left, and then we all end up at our seats. Mm-hmm. And I think that is... you know, more efficient than everybody just walking and mm-hmm. kind of trying mm-hmm. to figure out where they go. And I mean, that there's a beauty and efficiency. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's not an or. Mm-hmm. It's a beauty in the efficiency.
I like what you're saying, Kelly, because one definition I was given to me at one point in time about ritual or form is it's not the path, but the reminder that there is a path. And so it is very concise, maybe, in what is that? Mm-hmm. But there's something so big inside of that that it doesn't require that something that big to experience that efficiency.
You know what I've heard from people is the beauty, the word beauty. And Sarah's going to be taking the Sangha at the next community night into a discussion on form. Wanted questions to come up. What do you like? What do you not like? What bumps you? What do you desire? I think I would come out of this with beauty. Mm-hmm. Being attracted to the flowers, not being attracted to a compulsion. You know, being attracted to maybe the beauty of seeing somebody's back as you're walking, the connection. Mm-hmm. That's more than the walking, that one thing. I'm right with Steve. I feel Steve. I see him. I'm behind you. And there's beauty and connection in all of this. And I know part of what we're talking about on the community night will be, and I won't be there, I'll be in Mexico, but it will be how to have form in a way that feeds us and attracts, and doesn't deter. How do we do this? Are we doing it exactly how we should be? Historically, we do it the way Joan Sutherland, mm-hmm. who was our founder, mm-hmm. and we use her sutra books mm-hmm. and everything, and the way the altar is, and that's probably way beyond before Joan. But what can we do? And what do we do?
Yeah.
Tell me something about you used the word compulsion. Mm-hmm. How does that fit what we're talking about? Compulsion means something different to you.
Well,
something that you are, something inside of you is forcing you to do something that you are not necessarily.
Yeah, I would say like that.
That's the, yeah, the experience, yeah, is that, yeah, it's a compulsion.
It can be. There's an element. If it's not alive, if there isn't that movement toward freedom, mm-hmm, that it gives freedom, and maybe that's just in the individual that finds us to be free and liberating and beautiful.
I think freedom is a tricky word because, mm-hmm, you know, one of the most beautiful things would be to hear someone playing, all right, let's say a Mozart Requiem, the Mozart Requiem, you know, a beautiful piece of music, and there's some freedom in the way the notes are, the way it is, but the discipline that it takes to do that,
that's
well, is, I mean, they're not at odds with one another.
I would agree.
I guess I'm just fixated on this idea that you think you would leave, and to me,
we
all are.
Everyone left.
Well, to me, the Sangha is us. It's the people, and I mean, I hope that if the altar went away, if everything, the forms bowing, everything went away, I would hope it would just be us and the stillness and the teacher that would keep us coming. You know, I think back to the Bernie Glassman talk we went to years ago, where he talked about going out on the streets with the, mm-hmm, homeless, and basically having your retreat there or at Auschwitz. And so I remember Sarah once saying, we find beauty, or we make beauty wherever we go. And I just wonder, does beauty have to mean, because I am touched when flowers are gorgeous and just the right size and shape, and even Liz does it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so touched by it, but I guess maybe I want to expand beyond that. Mm-hmm. To something deeper, maybe. I don't know. I just, I hope I'm open if things would change up. But I find it all real curious.
Would you say more about deeper? Is that where that word was going? It would expand to something deeper?
Well, I guess, I mean, what I immediately thought of was just the beauty of the flowers versus, mm-hmm, the beauty of these people's day-to-day existence, you know, mm-hmm, the fact that they, mm-hmm, somehow their struggle got them going every day, and that I would find, mm-hmm, a deeper compassion and connection, mm-hmm, then, and it would just be different. Maybe not, maybe deeper is the wrong word, but just different.
Bigger. That sounds like bigger.
It feels a little, but I don't know. But, mm-hmm, I'm really, I just like the idea of us trying to do something in a maybe, you know, uglier part of town, uglier way. I don't know. I mean, that's probably the wrong word, too. But I think it would be curious to see what it's like.
So that's about all we have time for.
Unfortunately.
It's
a good topic, Steve.
I hate to cut off this conversation, but we can continue across at Wiglands if folks are interested. So
I've got a
much,
sick wife, so I have to go.
Yes.
Oh, she's not sick.
Okay, she's laid up.